Weeks, and this week will continue. Let's see, we've got Easter coming up, so we probably got one more week. I got some things I want to share with you next week about being used by God and kind of how he's working on it. We're going to get back into a little deeper into the what would you call it, just the real Jesus stuff, you know, the faith and hope and love and Jesus and God and Holy Spirit kind of encouraging you and some of that stuff. But for that God gave me a window here of a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, so we're going to be able to talk about some of these things like the OMGs and kind of how God puts this stuff in our life to be able to reach others, how we reach out beyond ourselves. We as a body of Christ, not just this church in particular, but the body of Christ as a whole got kind of internalized after COVID. It went through this period, and we're able to see if we look kind of back and see how some of the, you know what COVID did, right? It just, whoop, everybody went to, you know, focused on self and kind of small and small groups. A lot of churches even shut down. There's still hundreds of pastors. I believe it's 4,000 to 5,000 a month that are leaving the ministry even at this point. And so it's just things really, it took its toll, but it's something that God, I see, is wanting to get back into that reaching beyond your walls again. And it's okay to shake hands with somebody. It's okay to love them and to minister the gospel to them and through your words, deeds, and actions. So anyway, we're going to get more into that, but we're getting, I don't want to get too far. I know there's, you know, as a pastor, you know, you get into shepherding animals and you start learning that they're not all the same and all of them are at different places. And we've got out on the farm, we've got cows that are, you know, they're older cows, and I watch them and I know that they can't walk as far, you know, in the summertime. They actually split into two groups, and one of them's with the old, we call her Bossy Boots, right? She's the older cow, and she doesn't like to go that far, right? And then there's the younger cows, and they've got kind of a lead cow that takes another bunch that, you know, goes a little further down the river and stuff, and it's because they're not all the same. And so it's the same in the body of Christ. We're not all at the exact same place in our life. Some of us have, you know, some people grew up in the church, and you've got a really good, solid understanding of the Bible, maybe even better than I do on things, and then there's others that are fairly new to the faith. They're, you know, fresh into their relationship with Christ and maybe still struggling to understand some of the ins and outs of faith and the love of Christ and grace and, you know, some of those things. So as we keep moving forward, well, I got to be able to touch on everything because we all gather in one service like this. So it's a powerful time, but it's just know that there's more. If you don't like today's sermon, come back next week. Okay, that's the message. At all that I could have said, just that, we'd be done. Okay, but let's talk about, we're going to get into this. We're going to talk about the OMGs again, okay, the OMGs, the Oh My Gods, okay, coupled with the Oasis Ministry Groups, okay, as we're putting that together is kind of a funny little acronym. But we're going to talk about working together, okay, that's the title for today is working together. But let's pray. Father, we are yielded vessels to you and your Holy Spirit. Father, have your way in our lives, Lord. We need to be revealed, have things revealed to us, Lord, about our own personal life and where we're at in our walk with you, that we can see those opportunities for growth, that we can lean into that and say, yes, Father, I need you more. I need you more today than I did even yesterday. And Lord, I have to have you more. And that, Lord, we can open ourselves up to receive the ideas, the things that you stir in us, the ways that you would have us to reach and love on our neighbor, okay, as we love our neighbor as ourself, as we love you first and foremost, but as we love our neighbor as ourself, Lord, that we then see opportunities, we look for needs, and we fill those needs. We find ways that we can minister unto those around us, Lord. I thank you for making us each a minister in this room, Lord, that we are of you and we're of your gospel. We are called to reach out and to love one another the way that you loved us. And so, Lord, I pray that today be a step forward in that direction, Lord, as we talk about working together. We praise you for these things. I pray it in Jesus' name. We all say, amen. Amen. So be it. So let's talk about working together. You know, I was thinking about certain places around the country and how they're kind of known for different things. Okay, if you think of Chicago, for example, okay, what do you think of when you think of Chicago? Yeah, murder, right? No, it is actually, that's one of the things I wanted to point out. What are certain communities known for? Chicago is either known as the Windy City, okay, I've heard that, or it's known for crime because it has the highest murder rate in the nation in this last year, 2023. Okay, so Chicago is known for something. Philadelphia, many years ago, was nicknamed the city of brotherly love. We all know that, right? It's supposed to be a very loving community. It's got that feel to it. Okay, Colorado Springs, Colorado, a few years back, was known as a Christian Mecca, is the term I heard used. And it was where the Spirit of God could flow freely in that community. Back when we were planting churches, it was very tempting to move to the Colorado Springs area and plant a church because churches there seemed to just thrive, right? So it was kind of had that, it had a reputation. It had something that it was known for. Well, a few weeks ago, many of you know, I went to a Strong Church conference in Phoenix at the Dream City Church. And the senior pastor of the Dream City Church, which now has 11 campuses across Arizona, I mean, it's a big church, right? Told me that he had determined if a state known for something, like Utah being known for Mormonism or it's a Mormon state, that he believes that they can make Arizona to be known as a Christian state. He said, we're going to keep planting churches, we're going to keep spreading the gospel until Arizona is known as the Christian state. Okay, so as I'm pondering on his statement, I was thinking, I really can't see any reason whatsoever why Rawlins, Wyoming cannot be known as the most loving Christian city in the nation. You know, we can start there, right? We'll expand, right? I have that campus mentality too. I'd love to plant campuses. Okay, but we got to start right here in our community to get things rolling in the right direction. I know cities in Utah that are almost entirely Mormon. So why can't Rawlins be entirely Christian? Okay, why can't it? Okay, it's a big goal, but that makes it a God goal, right? If it's something we could do real easily, we probably wouldn't even request God's help. I know that something like that, becoming known as more of a Christian center in our community or Christian community as a whole, can only happen when people get on board with a vision, right? And then commit to work together to reach that final destination. Because if we don't have a goal, if we don't have something we're working towards, we'll never work towards it. We'll just kind of do our things, okay? And that's what in the body of Christ has gotten real good at doing their things, okay? And especially in certain communities, it's I want to get to that point where we have that unity among the brethren. Churches can fellowship with other churches, and it's not about my people, your people, that we're building something in our community. Okay, well, we need to get to the point where we're looking at the obstacles to becoming a Christian community as not just something that's in our way. Okay, not just something that's like a blockage, you know, that we really can't get past. We know we've got the state penitentiary, for example. That has a spirit of bondage and that goes along with that. Okay, we know that Rawlins is on the interstate, so it has some drug issues and things that happen in our community. So we know that that's kind of an obstacle of some sorts. But if we see it as not an obstacle, not as something that's going to keep us from that goal, but we see that as that's just something we have to overcome. Okay, that's an opportunity to be able to reach more people with the gospel. If we see that need and we fill it, we find something that we can get involved in that'll help overcome that particular goal. You know, what if Rawlins is known as the place where people get off drugs, right? You know, like, whoo, I got to go to Rawlins, you know, not going to the pen. No, I'm going to that other place, that Oasis Healing Ministry, you know, where you get off of drugs. Okay, why couldn't we be known as that? Okay, well, I said last week that I would give you some more insight this week as we're talking about kind of what God is inspiring you to do, that I would give you some more ways that you could be used by God to accomplish His will in Rawlins, Wyoming. Okay, without having to leave and flee the country, go somewhere else, go to Colorado Springs or someplace. Okay, without having to do that, that we can find what we can do right here, right now. Okay, so what do you do if you don't know what to do or you don't really know where to get started? How do I serve? How do I connect? How do I minister the gospel to our community? Well, I'm going to tell you the short answer is this. You start and begin by supporting and encouraging the people in your life right now, okay, that may have already received some direction from God as to what needs to be done. Okay, there's somebody sitting close to you that has a dream inside. They have a goal inside. They have something that they're wanting to accomplish with their life. And sometimes we're focused on ourselves, like, oh, it's all about me. I need to figure out what I need. I need to do this. No, maybe God has got you in somebody's life for that reason, that you could help them reach their goal, and then it will go on from there. You know, maybe that is your fulfilling. Maybe that is your place. Because the fact is that you have people in your life right now that need you. Okay? You're not indispensable. You're not, you know, Rambo and Rambo 1 or whatever that was. You're indispensable. We don't need you. I think that was the word. Any Rambo fans? I haven't seen it for 100 years. So anyway, okay, you're necessary in your group. You're necessary in family and in this ministry. You're necessary in our community, that there is somebody in your life that needs you right now. You know, you have someone in your life that needs you to assist them with what they are trying to accomplish. Somebody needs you to hold them up, okay, when they're about to stumble. They need you to grab their arm and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, let's not go that direction. You have somebody in your life that needs you to catch them. Like, remember Jesus caught Peter as he fell into the water, right? Some people think he didn't even get his hair wet because Jesus caught him as he began to sink. Okay, we have people in our life that need us to help them because they're about to fall. Okay, and there are people that are in your life that need you to come alongside of them and help give them something in their life that they need because they're about to faint. Right? They're weak. They're struggling. They're having trouble, you know, getting up and getting done what they need to do. I'm not talking just in a physical sense, but in that spiritual sense, they're struggling. They're kind of in that weak state, and they need you to come alongside them and help them so they don't faint. You know, some of those things, it might not seem like much. You know, like, oh, I thought I got to make my life, me be the king or me be the star or whatever. And sometimes it's about just getting in there and doing exactly what needs to be done for all of us to make it, right? In the body of Christ, the head and the hand can't do anything unless the feet and the legs help get them there, right? We're all necessary. We're all a critical part of the body of Christ. And so when it comes to fulfilling things, it might not be, you know, Paul points out, you know, we're not all the eyes, we're not all the hand, we're not all, because everybody's different, and we've got this parts of us that God needs to use to help us to function the way that we're supposed to. Every part of the body functioning together is crucial. I want you to listen to a passage of scripture. It's about working as a team to accomplish the God-given assignment. Okay, and there's others in the Bible, but this is a pretty prominent one. I want to go through it with you. This describes a time after God has led his people. He's been leading them and showing them what he can do. He led them through the Red Sea, okay, and they get to this point. They're en route to the Promised Land, right? And they encounter this and they encounter that, and they're working their way there. And I want to read to you, it's a scene, it's in Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17, and I'll start with verse 8. Talking about the battle with the Amalekites, right? Amalek being their fearless leader. In Exodus 17, 8, it says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited or destroyed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Okay, God put this story in the Bible to emphasize the need to support and encourage one another. Okay, Moses had heard something from God, okay, that told him how to win the battle. Okay, remember the rod that he's talking about taking was the same rod, right? He parted the Red Sea, he smacks a rock and out comes water. It's that same rock he threw on the ground, it turns to a snake, he grabs it by the tail and it turns back into the staff. Okay, it's that same rod. Okay, this is many years later, but this is that same rod that he is using. Moses had heard clearly from God on how to win the battle. And he was going to use the tool that God had placed in his hands. Okay, if you remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about that. What is God calling you to do? Look at what God has already given you. That conversation with God and Moses. Moses is like, God, they will not believe me. Why should they believe me? And God says, what is that you have in your hand? And he said, a staff. And then God gave him miracles through that staff. So it was that same staff, okay, that God had placed into his hands. Moses was doing his best to lift it up high, right? I picture it, you know, grabbing it on each end and holding it up like this, okay? And he's doing his best to lift it up high and to do what God told him to do. And when he did, they were successful, right? They were conquering the Amalekites. It was working. It was right. He heard from God. But when his arms grew tired, okay, he began to get weary. And then he could not sustain the victory, right? That staff, however heavy it was, it got so heavy he couldn't hold it up. And then his people started losing and he wants to lift it up. He knew what needed to be done, but he couldn't do it. Okay, he needed some faithful companions to help him. So first they got him a rock to sit on. Okay, they propped him up, it says. They propped him up on a rock. Okay, that represents them helping to ensure that the foundation was solid. Okay, being built out of a rock, it was not going to be easily moved. They're like, and in other words, that meant that they believed that where Moses, their leader, was, where he was standing, where he was doing this, was the right place to accomplish the task that God had given them. So they built this little rock foundation thing right here and said, yes, sit on this rock. Okay, they believed in what Moses was doing. They had a grasp that he was in the right place. Okay, then they came alongside Moses, seeing that his arms were growing tired. Okay, that meant they were pinching what was happening. Okay, they supported the very part of him that was needed. They supported his arm. Okay, now, they didn't build some sort of a contraption, right? I think they could have went and got some of those at forehand, right, and just prop this up on prop his other. They used some sort of a man-made contraption to be able to prop his arm up. But they didn't. Okay, they got personally involved in the situation in holding his arms up. Okay, they saw the task at hand and they came alongside Moses and they put some real intimate effort into it. And I say intimate because I don't know if you knew this, but back in Moses' days, they didn't have a lot of running water and showers and soap and all the good stuff. And Moses is out at battle. He's probably been sweating, probably didn't sleep the night before. They're going to war the next day. And here he is out there and he's got two buddies that need to lift his arms up, right, and stand underneath his arms while he's out there on this hillside. To me, that represents getting pretty close to somebody, right? That means you have to be all in. It means you're seeing what is happening, and you're like, this has to happen. I don't care what it smells like. And they're standing there doing what God had laid on their heart to support Moses to make sure that this happened. Now, you can imagine that their arms got tired too, right? Yeah, they're only holding up one arm, but they're still probably using two arms to do it. It would, some of you praise the Lord like this, you get through that long songs, Sometimes your arms get tired just holding them up, let alone trying to hold somebody else's arm up. You know, it wasn't easy, but they saw what they could accomplish if they worked together as a team, right? Where three became one to get the job done. Okay, three became one. They worked as one unit to make sure that holding that staff up remained high in the air. You know, and it was not only the three of them working together, but see how what they did affected the ones down in the valley, right? The whole army down in the valley below, the folks, you could say, the folks with their boots on the ground, so to speak, the ones that were in the midst of the battle, they're slinging their swords and doing all their stuff, using their shields and all those things. They were dependent upon the trio on the hill doing their job well. Okay, so they recognized that, hey, you know, when their arms are up, we're winning. And when his arms got tired and they went down, they surely recognized, wow, look at this, we're getting slaughtered. This is horrible. So now in their minds, they're rooting for those guys on the hill. That, you know, hey, look, Aaron and Banner, they're stepping in, they're helping, look at what they're doing. And they got excited about it because now they knew that staff was up. They had that confidence that now we can win this battle. Let's go forth and destroy them. And the Bible goes on to say they completely annihilated or destroyed the Amalekites. Okay, God was making the point through his word that when people support one another, the army of God can and will be successful in defeating the enemy. Okay, when you support one another and encourage each other and stand in the gap and get intimate, get to know people, let your guard down a little bit, okay? And get in there, you can help the body of Christ to win. You know, this story in the book of Exodus goes on, okay? And it describes how Moses' father-in-law, that he hadn't seen for a long time, his name was Jethro, okay? Moses' father-in-law came to visit Moses, okay? He had heard that God was at work through and in Moses' life and on behalf of Moses and the people of God. He had heard some rumors of things that had been going on. So when he gets there, Moses begins to share with him the personal testimonies of all the ways that God had delivered them from travail, how God had delivered them from potential destruction for themselves along the way on this journey. So Moses tells him how God had delivered them from Pharaoh and the bondage of Egypt by parting the Red Sea and then destroying the Egyptians with water as they tried to cross. Okay, he told Jethro how God had instructed him at one point to take a tree and throw it into a lake of bitter water, and it turned it to drinkable water so that they all wouldn't die of thirst. Okay, he tells them how God fed them with manna, okay, this supernatural food. He fed them with this in the wilderness, supernaturally providing them with enough food for each person to be completely satisfied. Nothing short, nothing over. Okay, then again, when they were going to die of thirst in another place, God again tells Moses to take what was in his hand. Remember that rod, that staff, he parted the Red Sea. He said, take what's in your hand, that rod that he had parted the Red Sea with, and he said, gather the elders of Israel together, take them to the mountainside, and smite the rock with that staff, and water will come gushing out of that rock for all of them to drink. Okay, now this, I believe he took the elders of Israel with him. He took them, he gathered up some of the people that were, you know, had put their way to the top or that had been appointed or whatever. He did all this so that the elders could be a part of that. Okay, it represents kind of, you know, when things were going, Moses had been doing it pretty much by himself, and now he's getting to the point where he's saying, you know what, I need to let some other people in on this power of God stuff. And so he takes them with them up to this mountainside, and they see this water come gushing out of the rock. Okay, now they saw it with their own eyes then, so now they would go back to their people and they would testify of the Lord's goodness and the Lord's greatness in their camps, in their portions, okay, to be able to spread that message that God is God and he is awesome. Okay, then of course Moses told Jethro how they had completely destroyed the Amalekites and how Aaron and Hur, did I say Ben and Hur? We just watched Ben Hur the other night, so he's probably on my mind. But they took Aaron and Hur with him. Okay, he's explaining to Jethro that, you know, my arms were getting tired, and Aaron and Hur came and they held my arms up, and as long as we could hold that up, we ended up winning. And my faithful servant Joshua was down there leading the army in the valley, and we won. We defeated them. Okay, now Jethro was hearing all these stories, and he got to the ones where Moses is taking the elders with them, and now they get to see the miracles. And then the next one, he said, now these people are getting directly involved with him to make the miracle happen. And I believe Jethro took note of sort of the unity, okay, and the that was involved in all that, and how the support of others was what helped them to be successful. So when he saw that Moses was going to wear himself out, okay, he saw that, you know what, he's the only judge over these people. He's going to wear himself out. He gives what I would say is some of the greatest advice ever given to a leader. Jethro tells Moses that he needs to seek out some good folks to help him. Okay, people who are faithful, people who love the truth, people who are not covetous of their own ambition, but would get on board with the plans that God had been showing him, and that he should then train these people how to do the work that God was calling them to do, and to sort of delegate some of this important task and some of the work unto these people. Let's read this story. It's in Exodus chapter 18. We're going to start in verse 13. Exodus 18:13. It says, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses, this is when Jethro comes, right? Jethro was there and he told him all these stories. And then it says, Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from morning until evening. In other words, he had long lines. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone and all the people stand by thee from morning until evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and the other and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be the rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. And verse 23 says, if thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened unto the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. You know, in order for us as the body of Christ to accomplish the task that God has given us for our community, for our personal life, for our family, and for our community, we all have to work together. Okay, we need to support and encourage one another. I know I need support as I try to hold up the vision, right? I got to try to hold it up for everybody to see. There's people that are not here today, so I have to, you know, hold it up again a different day and try to keep that vision up there before us, that we know we are men and women of God. We are reaching our community. We are growing in our own faith so that we can lead others and pull them into the kingdom and expand the kingdom of God in our community. Okay, I need help, support to be able to do that. The soldiers on the ground need support as they fight for the cause, right? They're in the middle of it. They got their boots on the ground. Okay, they need to be supported, encouraged by each other and by other leaders within the church. The elders need to come to me, to the rock, okay, to see how God is doing miracles and then go back and testify and encourage the people in their camps. Faithful men and women need to rise up and allow themselves to be appointed over some of the matters of ministry. Hey, we're reading, Margie and I's book we're reading in the evenings is a book about ministry stuff and churches and different things. It was by Robert Morris down in Texas. And he said in there something in this last chapter, it stood out to me that he said, some people, if you ask them who the minister of your church is, they're all going to point at you. He said, and if I asked you who the minister of your church is, you might even point at you because that's what you do. But the reality is that you are not the only minister in that church, that you are leading a ministry of ministers, that all of us are to be sent forth. My job is to train and equip the ministry, okay, to train and equip people to go out and do the work of the ministry, it says in Ephesians. So we need to get to the point where we're bearing the burdens involved in reaching our community with the love and gospel of Jesus. And that's going to take all of us working together. Now, you have people that are sitting right next to you right now that need your unconditional support. Your husband, if you have one, he needs you to appreciate his efforts to provide for you and your family. Okay, your wife needs to hear you say that she is beautiful and precious in your eyes. She might need you to step in with some of the household chores sometime. It's a matter of, and I'll tell you, if you'll do this, you'll see it. If you see what somebody else is doing, what is the task, the burden, the thing that they have to do before they can move on with life? If you recognize that looks like Margie's picking up dishes around the house, I'll go check the boys' room and see if there's some in there. Or, you know, if we're doing whatever, you're sweeping the floor and you notice she's sweeping, it's like, well, but I should go grab the mop bucket. That's probably next. If you're paying attention to what is going on in somebody else's life, what is the burden? Maybe it's the kids. The children need your encouragement when they make a mistake. Okay, your best friend needs your encouragement when they make a mistake. Right? They need somebody to support them and grab them by the arm and say, hey man, don't stumble. Don't stumble over this. It's not worth it. Let's keep going forward. We'll get across this line. And you recognize what it is in their life that you can do to come alongside them and support them through that next thing. Everybody's going through stuff. Everybody. Even the ones that say, fine. How's life? Fine. Everything's fine. Okay? They're going through stuff. And if you try to pay attention to some of that, at least we can pray for them if we can't get physically involved. You know, some people you need to get under their armpit, right? You need to get real close, get involved in what's going on. You know, your church family needs you to acknowledge their strengths. Okay, your church family needs you to support them in their weaknesses. Your coworkers need to have you step in and help do something when it's technically not even your job. Okay? But you recognize that they're stressed, they've got personal issues going on, and they're not going to be able to function normally that day at work. How many know people like that? Everybody. We work with people. Okay? And we see they're going through it, and it's like, you know what? They're not all hitting on all cylinders today. Maybe I should step in and help do a little bit. Hey, these are all things that at this very moment are within your ability to do for the kingdom of God. Okay, Colossians 3:23, as we close this morning, it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You know, our service to one another is not in vain. Okay, it doesn't go unnoticed by God. That is something that He recognizes in an instant. It's a vital part of the plan of God to spread His love and His grace to ensure the expansion of His kingdom is about looking for those needs, recognizing it, seeing it, and doing what you can to meet it. So prepare your heart. You know, set your mind to support the people in your life. If you don't get anything else, that's what this was about. Working together is about supporting the people in your life. God has given you a people. Support your family. Support your co-workers. Support your church family. Realize that you are well able to accomplish your God-given assignment and bring an element of success to the kingdom. Just by grabbing an arm, helping somebody, kind word. So let's set it to reach our community with the love and grace of Jesus Christ, to try to minister, to see our needs in our community and try to fill them the best that we possibly can. Let's take the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to Rawlins, Wyoming. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, we're yielded again to you, Father. I pray that you're speaking to hearts right here, right now, today, Lord, that people's hearts are receiving the word that you're speaking to them. Lord, each one of us being unique, each one being a little different, that, Lord, you have something, somebody in our life, some way that we can support, encourage, you know, help, hold an arm up, do what we can do for them, Lord. I pray, speak deeply, Lord, that we're not able to brush it aside, that we recognize that that's what God wants me to do. Look for people in your life that you can support. Help us to see those people, Lord, to recognize them, to see the need and fill it, Lord, to meet it. To see a hurt or a wound or an ailment and to be able to heal it. Lord, that you will do this work in and through our life, Lord. As we've seen so many miracle things that you've done throughout the ages, Lord, we know that you're not done yet. Lord, you've got us. You've got your people right here. You've got the Joshuas. You've got the Aarons and the Hurs. You've got the Moseses. You've got the people right here. You've got the soldiers on the ground. You've got the leaders of tens and thousands and fifties. And Father, you've got all these people right here, even in this room. And Father, we choose to be a vessel of you to minister unto the people around us, the people in our church, the people in our community, and to be able to share the love of Jesus you have placed in our hearts, Lord. We thank you for it. We acknowledge you for it. We give you all the credit for it. You're an awesome and praiseworthy God. And in Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.